Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Road to the Garden Awards show this time. We're doing awards. I'm Michael. Tommy, how you doing?
I'm great, Michael. Thank you.
Do you want to introduce the magical people we're with as I almost accidentally hit the end recording button?
Absolutely. I would love to. We are with the other, some might say, better half of the Dinga and DeRosa podcast, Chris the Dinga, and the Big East Barroom Boys, Tyler and Ryan Cassidy. You know them. You love them. They were here with us 2 weeks ago, returning for their second show. How are you all doing? Not all at once.
Yeah, doing well. I am mourning my Utah Utes tournament hopes after last night, but other than that, doing well. Excited to talk awards and fight very hardly for my case for player of the year.
I'm pissed as the first team and second team were just announced, the official ones, quote, quote, official, because we haven't announced ours yet, but I think the Big East made some mistakes and we need to rectify that.
I did no research for this and I'm excited to argue. So.
Yep, that sounds about right. So for the listeners, we did a blind poll. They don't know the results yet. I do know the results and some of them are doozies. We have all the regular awards, player of the year, coach of the year, most improved, yada, yada. Then we do have some fun ones like the Clutch Gene Award, which coach would make the best chef award, the best fan for all of our Road to the Garden listeners out there. It was not unanimous, but there was a winner in that. There was somebody who received a vote that absolutely should not have received a vote. And there, you know who you are. Tyler, you have to stop drinking when you submit these things. But yeah, it's definitely going to be fun. You guys want to get it kicked off with Coach of the Year? I'll announce the award and then we can discuss it from there.
Let's do it.
So the 2024 Road to the Garden Big East Player of the Year, all four of you submitted a different player. There was not one unanimous pick, not even two picks until I filled mine out. So the Big East Player of the Year for the Road to the Garden is Tristan Newton, UConn Huskies.
Wow.
The voting went Tristan Newton 2, Baylor Shireman 1, Tyler Kolick 1, Devin Carter 1.
I'm just happy to see that the committee got it right. They got it correct. As usual, Tommy Godin knows ball for voting with me for Tristan Newton. And, you know, this was an easy one.
An easy one. Interesting.
I'll just quickly give my case. I voted Devin Carter. I didn't think anyone else would. That was part of the reason I voted him, to be honest. But the other part is, if you take him off that Providence team, we don't have a bottom two in this league. We have a bottom three. And I think that's pretty definitive. I think he is the most – without him, that team is bad.
Mike, to push back, do you think that if Bryce Hopkins – was the one who was healthy and Devin Carter is the one who got hurt, would the season have been much different?
I think that would have been pretty substantially worse.
Fair. Yeah, that is fair. I picked Tristan Newton a couple of weeks ago for Big East Player of the Year. So I'm just kind of riding that high into this. He's one of the best players on the best team in the country. It was an easy pick for me. Mr. Triple-Double himself. Baylor Shireman was the only other one I was considering. I read a great article, forget who wrote it, but it was an exclusive piece on Baylor Shireman. I didn't realize the season he was having was as good as it was and the impact that he's made since he's been at Creighton. So go check it out. Do you guys know who wrote that article?
Yeah, it was me. Thank you. You set me up perfectly here. No, I did pick Baylor. You could make an argument, and I kind of didn't in that article, that he's probably the second best Creighton player maybe of all time, or at least since the mid-90s. He was my very clear choice for player of the year. I mean, in terms of him versus Tristan Newton, he shoots it better. He scores more. He rebounds more. Newton has a slight edge in assists. And I think Baylor's better defensively. I think five out of like six of the top facets I look at, Baylor had the edge. So he got the award for me, but Tristan would have been my second choice.
Yeah, I don't think there's any debate if you're just looking at individual stats that Baylor Shireman's had the better individual year. But it's all the intangibles that goes in Tristan Newton's favor. The intangibles of winning, of putting together one of the best Big East regular seasons in the history of the Big East, and he's the clear leader on the team. He's the oldest guy on the team. He's one of the few guys back from not one of the few guys, but, you know, there's not that many guys back from the championship last year. He had the three best players leave for the NBA. I think you have to reward that. I wouldn't want to go, you know, put up points against each other because Newton does come up short in that regard. But with the level of dominance UConn had, I think you have to pick a guy off that team.
I picked someone we haven't mentioned yet. And part of the reason was because I think there's a narrative that Tyler Kolek had a worse or did not play as well as he did. He ticked up in every single one of his categories, shooting a better percent from three. And we were actually talking about it before. Their whole entire system at Marquette, a team that went 13-6 will probably be a, or 14-6 will probably be a two or a three seed. Their whole entire system revolves around giving Tyler Kolek the ball and letting him improvise. I think he's by far the most valuable player in the Big East. I know the word we are called most outstanding player, but if you take Tyler Kolek off that Marquette team, we got a glimpse of that with him missing the last three games. They did not look anything like they have. So I went with Kolek shooting 40% from deep with leading the conference in assists while scoring three more points a game than last year. I understand that Marquette was supposed to win the Big East or was picked to win the Big East, but, you know, still wildly impressive season from a player that I think for some reason there was a narrative that he was not as dominant as he was.
Definitely. Definitely. And that kind of sets us up for the next award. I'm going to bounce around the main awards first before we get into our fun awards at the end. But the main award I want to go to, because I feel like it'll segue nicely, is the most improved player in the conference. The winner of that award this year for the Road to the Garden crew is Baylor Shireman with three votes. Tristan Newton also received, there we go, a vote, as did Dre Davis. So I will send it back down to Chris to tell us about Baylor Shireman's year.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny. I actually put Tristan Newton here. I flopped player of the year and most improved. I think Newton, I mean, it wasn't too far or too long ago. Towards the beginning of last year, he was viewed as the weakest spot in the lineup for UConn. And now, I mean, he as Ryan noted, I mean, he's a very steady force. He's the leader of the team. He just does so much right for them. I think he's gotten a lot better on both sides. So he was my pick. But yeah, I mean, Baylor, it was kind of interesting for a fifth-year guy like Shireman. Before the season, the word around Creighton was like, hey, Baylor looks a lot better this year. Like, he's our most improved guy from last year. And I kind of didn't believe it, right? I mean, a guy that old, like, how much can he truly get better? And he did. He got so much better. So either one of those guys I would be happy supporting for that award.
Yeah, that was kind of my thinking as well. I heard all of the hype in the offseason about how good that he got. And it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks, but they sure did. I mean, every single one of his stats is improved from last year, which is hard to do because he had a great year last year. We're talking about taking guys off teams, and I don't know where they would be without them. They still have a solid core in their starting group with Kalk Brenner, with Trey Alexander, with Steven Ashworth. But if you take Baylor Shireman off of that team, I think Creighton drops from, what, the 2C in the conference, maybe down to 3, 4, maybe 5. What he means for that Creighton team is special.
Who had the, I assume, Mike, were you Dre Davis here?
Oh, Shireman.
Ryan.
Yeah, I went Dre Davis here. This is just a personal preference thing. I don't think if you made an all Big East team last year, you should get the vote for most improved player. And I know people have in the past. So, but I personally think it should go to a guy that, you know, wasn't that good last year and really, you know, brought himself to new heights. Dre Davis, Baylor Shireman was a honorable mention last year. Dre Davis was not even a starter on the Seton Hall squad, and he's turned into their second best player on the fourth best team. They wouldn't be an NCAA tournament team without him. He's been tremendous, and he's really answered Holloway's call, and I think he deserves some recognition for that.
I mean, I went with Shireman too. I don't think you can name the player of the year also the most improved player, so that's why I wasn't going to go, because I think Newton might win player of the year. I know I just argued for Kolek, but I was just being argumentative at some points. But like, I think Shireman's jump is crazy.
Are you argumentative?
I actually originally had Devin Carter here and changed it because I do think his offensive game just took a leaps and bounds. Devin Carter did not make any of the all Big East teams last year, so would fit Ryan's made up criteria. So you know, I just think Devin Carter and Baylor Schuermann are the most improved players. They went from really good players to probably NBA players in the span of a year.
Do you really while we're on it? Sorry, Michael.
No, go.
Do you think both of those guys will get a legitimate shot in the NBA?
I think Devin Carter absolutely will. I think he might be a first round pick. I don't know about Schuermann. I get put my Big East blinders on. I was shocked that Sule Boom doesn't get a pick, and then I'm thinking about it, he's like 5'10 and 180 pounds. So like I get put my blinders on and I'm like, I see Baylor Schuermann and should, but I don't know enough about the NBA, admittedly.
Yeah.
Draymond Green was watching Baylor Schuermann at the Butler Creighton game, so he might have been impressed there. So he might have gone to the team, said something. Schuermann would fit the Warrior system in my mind. I don't know shit about the NBA either. As much as I hate to admit it, yeah, I actually had the exact same thought process as Tyler on this award. I had Devin Carter originally, but since I voted for Devin Carter for Player of the Year, I didn't want to vote for Most Improved too, so I switched to Schuermann. Yeah, I mean, Chris mentioned it with Schuermann. If you don't know, read his article. It was really well done. He got lucky writing it. But I mean, when we look at Devin Carter, he averaged 6.5 more points per game. He shot better from three, like almost 9% better from three, 5% better from the field, averaged another assist and another 3.5 rebounds a game on a team that has needed him to be that guy. And he's been that guy. This team wouldn't be alive at this point in the season without Devin Carter. He has taken an absolutely massive jump, but the jump Schuermann took was also great. I just couldn't vote Devin Carter for both, because if Tommy voted Devin Carter rather than Tristan Newton, and then Devin Carter also was there for Most Improved, our award show would look like kind of a scam. So I had to correct that.
Couldn't agree more. All right. So moving on here, we do have a couple more serious awards. We'll do one more and then get into a fun one. This is going to be our only unanimous pick of the entire selection. This should be the unanimous pick for the Big East selection as well. He'll average 11.2 points per game, 4.3 rebounds, 3 assists on 47% shooting this year. And that's UConn's Stephon Castle. Again, like you guys, I don't know much about the NBA either. I do know this kid has what it takes to make it in the NBA. He's great defensively. Stephon Castle is our freshman of the year, and frankly, it wasn't too close for me.
I don't know if there's more filled out. There's no I don't think there's even a. I don't even know who I'd pick. And maybe it's a more fun argument to have who would be the second freshman of the year. Stephon Castle came in and exceeded expectations as a freshman, and that's really hard to do.
Yeah, I wonder, going back to when we did our Big East draft a while back, I wonder who had both Castle and Schuermann. We'll have to circle back on that sometime.
Well, that's what I said.
Do you remember who won the poll, Chris? Do you remember who won the poll, Chris?
The poll? We're going to trust the regular people, the listeners, please.
You peasant.
Okay.
I'm a man of the regular people, all right?
I'm going to leave this. Sorry.
That's what I said during the show, though. I said when we look back at this in like 2 or 3 years, when these guys all are in the NBA, we're going to look at Chris's team and be like, holy shit, he cooked us. Because all of his guys could have great long careers, anywhere from role players to stars in the NBA.
Can I ask a question, since this one was kind of cut and dry?
Yeah.
His freshman of the year versus last freshman of the year, who would you take?
Stephon Castle in a heartbeat.
Stephon Castle.
Not for NBA upside, but just in terms of like if they both played the same season.
Stephon Castle's interested in being coached. Stephon Castle.
There goes all the Villanova listeners. Wow.
Yeah, I'll take Whitmore just because Kyler said that.
Yeah,
I think I would have taken Whitmore as well.
Yeah. And Stephon Castle's really good defensively. Like, really good defensively.
Well, Whitmore wasn't bad defensively. I think I got to lean Castle just because of the team success. But that would have been better competition for Castle. It would have been a more interesting conversation.
When Moore was out, so much was put on Whitmore. Mm-hmm. Castle doesn't have like
that's true.
You know, as much expectations for him as far as a game to game thing goes. I don't know. Tristan Newton handles just so much for that backcourt.
But Whitmore also had a lot on his shoulders and didn't rise to the occasion. Like, I understand what you're saying, but like he didn't meet like what he needed to. So. I mean, I get what you're saying, but I'm like, we don't know what Castle would have done if someone else got hurt.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. Let's do a fun one. The media personality you would most like to have a beer with. this award was created by me after having a few myself in desperation, trying to find filler awards so that this episode could be close to our time mark. But we did have a winner. There were two votes for one person.
Wow.
Wow.
That's incredible.
That's literally insane. Yeah.
It is. I will start with in descending or from last place to first place. There's three people that got one vote. Seth Davis got a vote.
Interesting. That's Chris, huh?
Hell yeah. I love Seth Davis.
We all know who voted that. I'm very proud to say that I received a vote in this. Thank you, Tyler.
You're welcome.
Yep. Bill Raftery also received a vote.
That's right.
He didn't win. He should have won, guys. What are we doing?
He should have won. But the winner is sitting in this room right here. Ladies and gentlemen, your 2024 media personality you most likely to have a beer with award winner, Biggie's Barroom himself, Tyler Cassidy.
Hey!
Wow.
Received the award with two votes.
So I didn't get my brother's vote, but I got...
And he's already had a beer with you.
I also got a vote from someone who doesn't drink, so... Mike can drive us home, Tommy.
Nah, dude, sign me up.
Well, thank you, guys. I prepared a speech for this. I'll be... this will be the next 45 minutes. No, I appreciate it. I will be enjoying beers with you guys soon, and that makes me happy.
We will next week, or I guess this week for the listeners, because this show will be coming out that week. But yeah, congratulations on your award. I have a nice trophy for you. It's in the shape of a Bud Light can and filled with Bud Light. It's just a Bud Light. So I will be bringing that up to New York for you. It's on me.
On behalf of the Academy, thank you very much, everyone, for doing that. And Ryan,
congratulations. Really prestigious. All right. Back to
reality.
Oh, ooh, are we going to get a little rapping action from you?
You guys just empowered me. You just gassed me up. Now I'm like, all right, let's do this freaking show. Seth Davis has nothing on me. Bill Raftery? No.
So what about me?
Yeah. No, well, Tommy, I picked you, bud.
We picked Wait, we picked each other?
Yeah.
That's not love. I don't know what it is. I mean,
you guys are really making this awkward. If you could leave, this show would really.
Can't fucking wait till Thursday. Oh, there goes Michael.
All right. Now we can do what we really wanted to do.
There we go. Actually, you know what? You know what? Let's do another fun one. We gassed you up a little bit. Now let's gas Michael up. Ladies and gentlemen, our Michael DeRosa is a very handsome single gentleman. Senior in college at the Butler University. And we're trying to set him up on a blind date. And believe it or not, there was a winner for this category as well. One of you voted for a female.
I'm looking out for you, bro.
Thanks, Rod. What a guy. What a lad.
Yeah. Yeah. So in tied for last place was Miss Paige Beckers.
Oh, congratulations. See?
You could do worse.
You have.
Yeah. It could be with Tyler.
We another vote getter was Ryan Mutombo, which would been a nice one. But the winner of this award to go on a blind date by the voters at the Academy of Road to the Garden was Mr. Ishmael Massoud from Georgetown. University by way of Kansas State. So Michael, you have the floor here if you would like to.
As soon as I heard there was a winner, I knew it was Ish Massoud. I just knew it. I mean, he had a really good game against Kentucky in the NCAA tournament last year. Ish Massoud.
There it is. We'll get him a trophy for his Wednesday at the Big East tournament. All right.
He could play Thursday too. You never know.
No.
He ain't playing Thursday.
No, that was like his, but that was one of his like two good games this year was at Providence.
No.
It'll be like a blind date because you guys might be the only ones in the building for that game. So it'll be nice.
Reeling it back in here. We have the Six Man of the Year award. This one was almost unanimous. There was one astray vote. But the 2024 Road to the Garden Sixth Man of the Year award goes to Mr. Hassan Diarra from the University of Connecticut. The only other vote getter in this was Hakeem Hart from Villanova.
Is that
so? Shout out, Hawk. Actually, it wasn't me.
Oh,
that was me. Hart's average. I remember looking at this last night. I spent a decent amount of time on it because I assumed the easy one was just Hassan Diarra, and I'm like, is Hassan making a huge impact at UConn? He's very good, but like, I don't know. And then just going down the roster, I feel like Hakeem Hart does a lot for Villanova both on both ends. He's like, his jump shot doesn't look pretty, but it sometimes goes in. But defensively, he really allows them to do a ton switching. He might be the best defender on that team. And they're one of the best defenses of the Big East. So actually, yeah, I like my Hakeem Hart pick.
When I was doing this too, I was looking like, Hassan Diarra has like weirdly low numbers. Like if you just looked at counting stats, like obviously we watched the game, but I did someone from St. John's, maybe like I was thinking about like Jordan Dingle. I know he's underperformed what we thought, but he's still averaging 12 points a game. I don't know if he would even qualify for sixth man. I know he played a lot off the bench during the season, but averaging 12 points a game as a sixth man. I mean, that's more than David Joplin averaged last year for Marquette and winning the award. So I don't know, but someone like that might be in the running for when they actually do the awards.
So I don't know what the limit is. I know RJ Lewis, when I looked yesterday, I don't know if it had already counted the St. John's Georgetown game from earlier. I believe he had 20 games played in 10 starts, which to me, as soon as he hit the 50% mark, took him off.
Yep.
But if he had 9 starts and instead of the 10, he would have been my vote.
Yeah, I think the jump that he almost got my most improved player vote. I think the jump that DR has made from last year to this year has been really impressive. His stats this year aren't jumping off the page, but they were even worse last year. I think he makes an impact on the defensive end. I don't hate the Hakeem Hart pick at all. He had that stretch in the middle of the season, that 6-7 game stretch, where I thought he was going to run away with the Sixth Man at the Year award. He plays great defense. He can carry the ball up the court with some of the wonkier lineups out there, which is great for Villanova, but Sandy R, again, on the best team in the country, really makes him good.
He shot 18% from three last year. Like, unplayably bad, like, at stretches offensively. Shot 38% from three this year. I think you guys nailed it.
He's also, like, one of the top 10 perimeter defenders in the conference coming off the bench behind Stephon Castle. So you put Stephon Castle on Tyler Kolek to start the game, then you give him a rest, you bring in Hassan Diarra. I mean, it's you're putting guys in the torture chamber, opposing guards. I clearly also went with Hassan Diarra here. I love Hakeem Hart, and there was a point I was with you, there was a point in the year I thought he was going to get this award, but it just, for me, it came down to team success. Have to factor in that he's on the best team in the country.
Yeah, that's just really
– oh, you guys go first. I'll end it.
This was tough for me as well. I mean, obviously super biased, but I also didn't know if Hakeem Hart was eligible for this award because he's like their seventh or eighth guy. Jordan Longino is the first sub in off the bench. And then depending on the matchup, if Villanova needs offense or defense, it'll either be Hakeem Hart or Brendan Hawson as a seventh guy off the bench. So that was kind of my final straw when looking at this award.
On Evan Maya, Hakeem Hart is the 13th best player in the whole conference. He's just been super efficient when he's out there. Defensively, he's the 6th best player in the conference. He just makes a huge impact when he's on the floor. And there's no drop-off when Castle comes out, really, which, I mean, obviously, when the freshman of the year comes out of the game, you'd expect UConn to drop off a little bit, but they don't when DR is out there.
Was your original point that DR is the 13th best player in the conference, or – Hart is the 13th best player.
Diarra.
I just want to note that Tyler said last year, unplayable Hassan Diarra shot 18% from three. Noted sharpshooter and winner of a previous award, Ish Masood, who the only thing he provides is shooting, shot 31% from three this year.
You can talk about that with him on your date.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to another kind of fun award. We have the Game of the Year award in the conference. We did have a winner here. The two runner-ups were Villanova and Butler's two overtime game in Hinkle.
Come on, you guys voted wrong.
I couldn't vote for that. That ripped my heart out. Yeah. The other runner-up was another Butler game, Creighton Butler, that received one vote. But the winner of this game, of this award, was the 91-87 victory at the AMP, the Providence Friars taking down the Creighton Blue Jays. Baylor Shireman had 27 in this one, only to be topped by, on ESPN it says, unnamed guard, who had 28 points and 11 rebounds and 6 assists. One can only assume that's Devin Carter. So, yeah, that's what I voted for. This game was electric, as are most games at the AMP. I'm glad that it won.
My favorite shot of the year was when, I mean, it broke my heart, but Devin Carter from the logo there with like a minute left. That was unbelievable. That whole game was just so punch for punch, back and forth for 40 minutes. It was fantastic.
I think the Stephen Ashworth shot, not that this is the award, but that Stephen Ashworth from the logo is the only other one I can think of to compete with it. But yeah, I voted this game. Me and Tyler were also lucky enough to be in the building for it, so we might be a little biased. But I mean, it was a pink out. It was rocking. Devin Carter put on like a Superman performance. You had overtime. What more could you ask for?
Josh Adoro was in his bag that game too. I think Adoro outscored Devin Carter in that game. I think he was in the 30s. I mean, that was just one of the best environments. I only went with Butler Creighton because it was just so aesthetically pleasing that game. 99-98. Finley Bizjak took over for certain points of that game. You know, it was just back and forth the entire game. No one was playing defense was part of the reason, but it was aesthetically pleasing. And Ryan, I knew Ryan was voting for Creighton Providence, so I was like, I'll just throw a vote.
32-12 for Papa Adoro.
Jeez. Which I was in the building for Butler Nova, so I was biased on this one. But even though I lost money on this game, I thought Creighton Seton Hall was a better game than Creighton Providence.
Three overtimes. Yeah, no one voted for the three overtime game, huh?
Yeah, that surprised me.
I think the big knock on that was how bad officiating was. I mean, do you remember how many times the game should have ended? You know, who was it that hit the layup and they called it back?
Is that Kadari?
Yeah, I think it might have been Kadari.
Yeah,
that'll segue us nicely into our next award. This one, again, was almost unanimous, and it was our Clutch Gene Award. I think there was a little bit of recency bias for the number two selection here, Mr. Trey Alexander. You want to talk about ripping people's hearts out, Chris? I am still recovering from yesterday. I almost shed a tear. I was so upset, but Trey Alexander did come in second place with one vote behind our winner, Devin Carter, from the logo himself. There's no one in the conference that, I mean, in the biggest moments, a lot of people will take that shot. I mean, he has one of the greenest lights in the conference. He steps his game up in the biggest moments. Outstanding player, Devin Carter. I'm happy he won this award.
I just went with Tricky because you're right. We had just watched the game, and I think there's only been one Big East buzzer beater this year, and that was Trey Alexander. So I went with the guy that had literally been the clutchest moment of the season.
Yep. Actually, that shot went in with 0.1 left, so it wasn't buzzer beater.
I hate you so much.
Watch out. I didn't vote for Devin Carter, but what's the game where Kim English called him over, pointed out the spot, and said, end it? That was as clutch as you're gonna see.
Was that
again? Yeah, that happened.
What team was that against?
Yeah, what team was that against?
It's all right, you support two of them, so it could be anyone.
It was Butler. It was the Butler game in the AMP because Butler didn't foul up three. Ticket Gaines hits a three to send the game to overtime. Then Devin Carter just scored like 18 straight points. It felt like.
Plus, you need the award. Best game of the year.
Yeah. All right. You guys want to do a fun one next, or back to the actual awards that they'll be giving out?
We should pick another
fun game. Again.
Yeah, pick another game for Mike.
Was an award for which coach would make the best chef in the conference.
I'm passionate about my pick here.
I hope this wasn't you. You picked Tony Stubblefield. Yeah, it was.
Sure did.
I'm going to have to get your reasoning on that in a minute. He received one vote, obviously. Shaka Smart also received one vote. And then the winner of this award with three votes, Rick Pitino, Mr. Pizza Man himself.
This is obvious. He grew up the child of Italian immigrants. Like, mm-hmm. this is like he's wiping the floor with the rest of these.
Is it, wait, hold up. Stop. Isn't there stories about Rick Pitino literally going to restaurants?
Thank you.
And you're saying that he's a good chef? He's literally.
Because he goes to restaurants? He can't cook?
He can't cook?
What do you mean?
Gordon Ramsay goes to restaurants. Let's get out of here with that.
Gordon Ramsay saves restaurants. Yeah. He doesn't just go there for fun.
You think if somebody goes to a restaurant, they can't cook?
Rick Pitino literally has – there are multiple stories about him spending time in restaurants, and there's multiple Rick Pitino food stories, and none of them include him cooking.
Thank you.
He cooks at home. Yeah. Where is he supposed to cook?
Bullshit.
Why would there be stories about this that we've been all episode?
Nobody, you never hear a story from any of his past players like, oh, Rick Pitino, by God, what a chef.
Just a great meal. Yeah, no, bullshit.
That dude doesn't do anything.
When would that come up in conversation? When would that come up in conversation?
Why do I have three Rick Pitino stories about food?
When they have a team dinner, you know someone's going to be like, oh, yeah, the food at Pitino's was great. But no one's ever said that.
Nope.
Pitino gives him other things to taste outside of food. Or it's. I retract. nothing. I said nothing. Pitino should have won this, though. This was the correct choice.
Also, what do coaches do during the season? They coach. Do you think they have a lot of free time? Want to know who has a lot of free time? Tony Stubblefield. That is why he is the correct pick in this, because he actually has time to take a new hobby up. Rick Pitino was not cooking during the season.
My vote was because just imagining Shaka Smart in a giant chef hat was kind of funny to me, so I voted Shaka.
I was wondering your reasoning behind that.
And they have the post-game milkshakes. I mean, you don't take a chef to make milkshakes, but come on. Who doesn't love a good milkshake?
He doesn't make them. You think Shaka's back there making
milkshakes? Could. You never know. You never know.
You guys think Rick Pitino's going behind the counter of Olive Garden and cooking up a good Italian meal?
No Italians go to Olive Garden.
I was Michael? With you for so long, Tyler.
I think on the 6 days he doesn't go to Olive Garden, he's cooking. I don't know why the one day disqualifies him.
He's commanding his players to deliver him pizza.
All five of us will be in the garden next week. Somebody can ask him this.
We're going to ask him, have you ever cooked?
Yeah.
If he says no, all of you arrange, like all of you are coming on the podcast to talk about that.
Fine.
Could you imagine after a St. John's loss asking Rick Pitino if he cooks at home? He might literally like physically get up and beat you.
Yeah, I'll ask him that. And then in turn, one of you guys asked him about a message he has for the haters. And I think we'll have gotten a great Rick Pitino press conference.
Rick, we know you have a love for restaurants and things that happen.
What's your go-to meal at home to cook? All right. Getting off of that, we will go back to a actual award here. The only award where we have a split.
There's five people. Is,
what? Yeah, oh, two and one. Oh, okay. Come on, Mr. Teacher.
Gotcha.
Get this out here.
All right, Dad.
The defensive player of the year in the conference.
I feel strongly about my pick here.
Receiving one vote, Kadari Richmond from Seton Hall University. And the 2024 co-defensive player of the years for Road to the Garden, Donovan Klingon, UConn, and Devin Carter, Providence. Michael, you feel strongly, take the floor.
Yeah, I feel very strongly about this. I voted Klingon. Just looking at like the KenPom defensive stats, like no Big East team is like elite defensively. I believe the best defense in the Big East is actually it's UConn right now because Villanova lost right after yesterday. And when you look at the stats, Klingon was hurt, obviously, for quite a bit of the season. When you look at the stats on Torvik, when you can adjust by whatever, but just by like a time frame, from the 27th, the day he returned, UConn is sixth best defense in the country, which is, again, the best defense in the conference. They're 11-1 in that stretch with Klingon back because he's very good defensively. And while I don't love defensive stats, he also has the highest defensive rating in the conference. Donovan Klingon, I just think he does so much more. He adds so much more to that team defensively than I think really anyone else does. I think this is Klingon by a landslide.
I voted with Mike too, and I'm going to use Ryan's words against him because Ryan texted me and said, look how mortal they look without Klingon. And also is a big, Ryan says a lot, look at all the shots they don't take because of Donovan Klingon. It's not about all the block shots. I mean, there is nobody, I think, in the country, maybe Edie, I don't watch enough Purdue, that influences a game like Donovan Klingon defensively just because of his sheer size. He is not just tall like his predecessor for this award. He is actually good at basketball.
if Klingon had played a whole season, I would have voted for him here. I think the time he missed kind of put him behind. I voted Devin Carter. I think, you know, Providence was elite defensively for much of the year. They kind of struggled down the stretch, but he was the engine that made that go. They were a top 10 defense for a long stretch of the season. And advanced stats also love him. He's right behind Klingon in one of them, and he's ahead of Klingon in the other. So I think it's fair to have these two as the co-defensive player of the year.
I was the Richmond vote. To me, he's the best perimeter defender for multiple years now in the Big East. I didn't vote Klingon, yeah, just because much time. And also, he gets in foul trouble a ton. And if you're not a defensive player of the year, if you can't stay on the floor, to me, and there, at times that is a real problem. So I went with Kadari. I think his length overall on the perimeter is just better than Devin Carter. And I think Richmond adds a ton on that side of the floor.
Yeah. I also went with Devin Carter here, and it was super close for me, but like Ryan, my tipping point was the games that Donovan Klingon missed. I mean, I'm not upset that this is a split award at all. I mean, when we look at defensive rating on KenPom, Devin Carter's third, Donovan Klingon's fourth. I mean, Devin Carter's 52 steals this year. I'm cool with either, but I voted for Devin Carter, got the nod just because of his longevity, I guess you want to call it, in the conference this year, even though it's only been a season. But yeah, Devin Carter got that award for me this year. All right. Ooh, we're flying through these. Fun one. Best dressed. Now, this could have been on or off the court. And we actually had a winner for this one, which I was shocked about. This is the Jay Wright Award for Best Dressed, named after him. And it's fitting because he received a vote in this year's 2024.
I don't think I understood what I was supposed to be doing.
So, again, Tony Stubblefield also received another vote here, and that wasn't Tyler this time.
He could be doing fashion shows right now. Here's the thing. Here's why I did this before. Yeah, I got a quick case. I don't think we can forget the legacy Stubbs had at DePaul this season. Like, I feel like he's still a part of Big East history, and I feel like this is a category that could get him recognized for something. Just tangentially to the university, you know, tangentially to this year in the Big East, Tony Stubblefield.
He won more games than Matt Brady this year. That's a fact.
DePaul set records this year, and we need to immortalize it by giving Stubbs an award. You know, I want to change my vote.
Immortalize it by giving the former head coach the best dressed award.
Tommy doesn't know ball.
That's fitting. Yeah, thank you.
You don't get it, huh?
Quincy Oliveri received a vote.
Hey.
His hair in the last game was outstanding. He had the space buns for the Villanova game. A lot of swag. Respect to Quincy Oliveri vote. But the winner of the Best Dressed Award with two votes was Butler's Andre Screen with the Rec Specs. Yes, Chris, you and I both voted for Andre Screen.
Hell yeah.
Big fans of his style.
Andre Screen, man. I'm just a huge goggles guy. If you have the confidence to wear those in a basketball game, I'm going to vote for you every time. Sorry.
Amazon. Yeah. I'm going to get Amazon some goggles for the Big East tournament for me then.
Tyler doesn't show up in rec specs. He shows up in actual pool goggles.
When we play 3-on-3 in a park in New York, I can't wait for Tyler to pull up wearing goggles. And
I'm like, winning Chris over one way or the other.
There you go. All right, back to the regular awards. We have the Coach of the Year Award, which I think will, if I'm not wrong, will wrap up our serious awards. So actually, let's save that one for last because that one's going to be fun to bicker about. We did the coach with the best chef, the mascot of the year. I'm so upset with the voting in this one, mostly because the winner scares the shit out of me personally. But one vote was for Jonathan the Husky. Two votes were for Butler. No, one vote was for Butler Blue. Apologies. And three votes for the winner, the Providence Friar. That's just, we got to do better as a team. That just can't be the winner.
This is a fucking outrage. No. You guys shut the fuck up. I'm talking now. Oh my God.
to go with a terrifying mascot. I mean, they think outside.
Blue tore his ACL and he's back on the court. He tore his ACL and he came back. He recovered from injury. He willed the school to victory.
Unreliable. Not durable. Sorry.
Oh, bullshit. He recovered in months and came back. He had surgery and was still back for the exhibition games.
They won.
And we're not going to give him the award?
They won.
He's off my big board. He has injury concerns.
That's outrageous. Oh, my God.
Blue is number two on my big board. I love Huskies. I mean, my profile picture on Twitter is with Jonathan the Husky. I mean, it's just the Friar scares the shit out of me. I don't think I can emphasize that enough.
That's literally the point. I mean, you are supposed to go into a game and be intimidated. And that person, for many reasons, not even getting into the Catholic Church reasons, is scary.
Are you holding a bottle opener in your hands?
Yeah, I am.
Just a quick question. First time, long time. Does the Providence Friar have a sponsorship deal? Because Blue does. And he tore his ACL. So, again, Blue is the live mascot of the decade. This is Blue's award. The people aired here.
Tired picking cute mascots. Wired picking nightmare mascots.
Can we just say what the worst mascot is? And it's the fucking St. John's Red Storm. You can't pick the weather as a mascot. And that's bullshit. And I'm so sick that we keep getting away with it. Yeah, I'm the sun. No, you're not.
The best mascot in college sports is the Big Red at Western Kentucky.
With the
The best. The best. That little like
I don't know. I think Campbell has like a giant fucking camel that's in their gym.
Yes. John Fanta just posted it a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Don't they walk through the like it's like a blow up camel? Yeah, I've seen.
It's electric.
Anthony DeLorso is a name to watch out for.
In terms of
just names. Just names to look out for.
All right. So that'll leave us with we have the Fan of the Year award and we have the Coach of the Year award, and that's gonna wrap it up.
I'd like to change my pick.
For who?
For Fan of the Year.
You wanna do that one first or last?
I don't know, but I messed up and I shouldn't have picked this person because he also just got his account suspended.
Yeah, why did we lost Michael? Let's do Coach of the Year because I feel like this is going to get a rise out of people. The right guy did win, but it was a 3-2 split. The winner of the Coach of the Year award, obviously Dan Hurley for the UConn Huskies. Coming in second, Shaheen Holloway from the Seton Hall Pirates. That's who I voted for. I mean, being picked ninth in the conference and then doing as well as they did with the roster that they have is admirable. I think Shaheen gets a lot out of his guys. Kadari Richmond is a bona fide stud. He just got first team in the conference and he should have. What Shaheen's doing with that Seton Hall team, with the lack of resources like NIL, like some of these other schools, is admirable. So he got my vote for Coach of the Year.
I understand what you're saying. If we're just going to pick the team that was supposed to finish badly and picked a little better, like that means a top team can never win it. Because UConn was picked third in the Big East to start the season. That means they only had two spots to move up. I mean, Seton Hall had moved up five spots, but that's because they had more spots available to move up, if that makes, you know, makes sense. I went with Dan Hurley. This team's the best team in the country. They won a national championship last year, and there's been no hangover, which is absolutely unbelievable when you put three players in the NBA, and Joey Calcaterra was wildly important to this team as well. I don't think it's particularly close. I think Dan Hurley also was the national coach of the year, and that's while doing no research on this, so I don't actually know if that's good.
Yeah, Kelvin Sampson appears to have a pretty good argument first year in the Big 12 and winning it outright. But I went early here. I love Shaheen Holloway, and everything you said was very true, Tommy. Unfortunately, he's going up against a guy who's put together a top two team in the country. You know, a lot of us here think that they're the best team in the country. He's on a heater right now that is the type of heater that turns coaches into legends. He just put together the most dominant Big East regular season since – I don't know when. He's been incredible. As Tyler mentioned, he lost his three best players to the NBA, and he didn't miss a beat. I think he has to get the recognition.
I went Shaw.
I understand the argument for Hurley, actually. I'm not going to be a dick about it, even though I really wanted to. But I just want to take narratives into account. Well, obviously, we have the fact that they moved up as much as they did. But I feel like Big East kind of, as a whole, spent the entire summer kind of clowning Seton Hall because they couldn't get a big man in the transfer portal. They, Abu Usman chose not to go there. Supreme Cook chose not to go there. A couple other guys chose not to go to Seton Hall. They get Fediako, and he is the best of those big men by far. Well, Big East as a whole just kind of was like Seton Hall couldn't do anything in the portal. They couldn't recruit at all. We were making fun of them. It's like, yeah, Seton Hall, like they're just going to be stuck in the basement for the next few years. They're not in the basement right now. This team has overperformed entirely. They're getting – this is the most you could possibly get out of this Seton Hall team. I don't think they could be like a single point per possession better. This is as good as the Seton Hall team can be. This is their ceiling, and they've hit it.
Yeah, I went with Hurley. When we submitted this, it wasn't. I wasn't sure whether Seton Hall would even make the NCAA tournament. And if you're not one of the top 68 period teams in college basketball, then no, you don't get a vote. I'm sorry. That's why I, for Coach of the Year in on a national side of things, I wouldn't vote for AAR out of South Florida. Can't do it. He might not make the tournament. If you're in contention to not make an NCAA tournament, no, you are not Coach of the Year.
Well, the answer is Lamont Paris for National Coach of the Year. We can just say that there.
Maybe. Danny Sprinkle, maybe.
Paris is at South Carolina. Sprinkle is going to be up there, and he's going to have a new job next year. So I'm very interested to see how he does at Washington.
Iron Mike still got a chance over there. He's not out the door yet.
Yes, he is. He was canned.
Was he really?
Yes. Chris, I can't fade him in his last possible game. Are you kidding me? They took that from me? I have one more opportunity in my life to fade Mike Hopkins, and they stole it from me. That guy is a sinner.
I thought they specifically said that they were going to let him coach out the rest of the year.
Oh, please tell me they actually let him coach. That would make my day. Then we can get Tyler's dog shit votes for everything else, and it'd be fine.
Yeah, yesterday canned. You're correct.
Not one mistake yet who any of these coaches are.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think the top 68 teams make March Madness because there's going to be a team in the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference that's going to make it over like a Villanova or a Seton Hall. And they're not better. They're like, who's going to make it out of there? Like Norfolk State. Like, they're not better than Seton Hall.
But I do agree with the argument that you need to be a tournament team. Cooley was a tournament team. Shaka was an easy tournament team. I just am very confused why we move the goalposts and we say, Hurley doesn't get it when we've given it to pretty much the best team the last 2 years. And now we have the best team maybe in Big East history. And we're saying, no, Shaheen had a cute little year. Like, I'm kind of he's getting a lot out of Kadari Richmond. Kadari Richmond's like a top 50 recruit. Like, congratulations. You got Kadari Richmond to focus on basketball for 5 minutes. Like, that's all, you know, Alamir Dawes played big minutes at ACC school, like for a good Clemson team at times. Like, I just don't really. Yeah, he's doing a nice job and he has no NIL money, but Dan Hurley, and it's not close.
Did you say that he was having a cute little year at Seton Hall?
Yeah, he's a cute little, you know, he's kind of like Stephen Ashworth, cute little player.
That's where I was gonna loop it back to. I mean, I don't hate the Hurley pick at all, but I mean, he did lose Sonogo Jackson, Joey California, and Hawkins, but it's not like he got a bunch of scrubs that came in. I mean, he's got the unanimous player of the year, freshman of the year, and Stephon Castle. Klingon is arguably better, at least in the regular season.
Who recruited those players there?
Of course, Hurley. I'm not taking that away from him. But, I mean, we're acting like he's...
Is this the recruiter of the year award or the coach of the year award? Or
do you I think those things are not... But yeah, that's part of it.
Okay.
I mean, Tommy, if the point is they always get all these great talents, how come they weren't picked first in the Big East preseason?
It's a good point. I feel
like that's a little bit of hindsight, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't know what was going through Tony Stubblefield's head when he didn't pick them number one. I can't speak to that. I can't speak to a lot of things that Tony Stubblefield does, but I had them number one. So I have that in my heart, my heart of hearts. Anything else before we move on to Fan of the Year?
Real quick, actually, did we all have UConn number one in the conference preseason?
I think I had Marquette.
I had Marquette.
I had Marquette and Creighton.
I went Marquette, UConn, Creighton.
Tommy and myself, the two smart ones. Yeah. Noted.
It's hard when you don't want to be a homer always. Like, so I'm like, I don't want to always pick UConn, but then I'm like, I think they're really good. But I didn't know if Cam Spencer could play defense. So
yeah, fair.
I was definitely a homer. I think I had UConn, Creighton, Villanova, Marquette. So see how that went. Definitely not a huge ball knower, but that will leave us with the fan of the year. At least you can make an argument for Shaheen Holloway and coach of the year. There is somebody that you cannot make an argument for that received a vote in the fan of the year awards, and I will let that speak for itself. The fan of the year with one vote tied for the bottom was the V's down girl from Butler. Nobody screenshot that, please. Michael didn't know her name, goes to school with her, doesn't know her name.
Correct.
But she received one vote.
You might not know any girl's name. How?
That's I don't know a name of a single woman aside from my mom and my sister.
What are you running for Pope?
Actually, it's not a bad career choice. No, it is. I'm religion, please. The only religion I care about is Rutgers basketball. By the way, as we're on this show, in the first 7 minutes of their game, they scored 1 point. One.
They're so
bad. 7 minutes.
They're so
bad. Rutgers basketball.
Not next year, though.
I said on our show, our last show, you said the Rutgers would have to beat a team by 30. I said, I'm not sure if they could score 30 points in a game. So that's looking real nice now. But with one other vote for fan of the year, somebody in here voted for, not sure his last name.
I changed my vote.
Don't really care to learn it.
I might honestly bleep the name when I'm editing this, and I might bleep the, I'm just going to cut this part out. So thanks you guys for making me do more work.
I tried to change my vote.
And with one other vote in here, Blue Demon Degenerate. You know him, you love him. The mastermind behind Divine Providence and so many other great things on Twitter. But what winner. What do
we mean fan here? He's a producer. He's a director. Why is he getting labeled as a fan? I don't get it.
I don't know. Rick Pitino got labeled as a chef because he happens to go to Italian restaurants. So I don't know what the hell we're doing.
Such a painful but the winner argument.
Of the 2024 Road to the Garden Fan of the Year Award, Villanova fan Susan Falvey. I voted for Susan as well. This was an easy pick. She's my favorite fan on Twitter. Chris Boyd from Creighton, Creighton fan himself. He's up there. Hope he's doing well. But yeah, love Susan Falvey. Glad she got this award.
Yeah, give a shout out to Susan Falvey, who's always around to make your day a little bit better. She's awesome.
And Susan likes Ryan way too much, and I'm not interested in that. I'm a bad judge of character.
That's a good thing.
She doesn't want to talk to you, Tuck.
I know. I am a little jealous. We're both teachers, too.
Who was the other vote submitter?
I voted Susan.
Yeah.
Oh, because you're a fan knower.
That's true.
Fan knower.
I was, and I, yes, Susan, but Blue Demon Degenerate literally, like, the whole entire Big East rallied around this whole thing. I know Mike doesn't like good cinema and didn't like it, but
I didn't watch it. So the story itself is just kind of annoying to me. I've seen it for months. So, like, I just didn't care enough to look into it.
He got Portnoy to, like, pick up things. I hate Portnoy, but he got, like, real people to do this. And
that's just because Portnoy hates Jeff Goodman.
Yeah,
and he's hilarious.
Yes, he got Jeff Goodman this mad, and we don't like Jeff Goodman very much. So, I mean, I thought it was a slam dunk.
Goodman, if you want to pay me, I'm here.
For what, Mike? For what?
Vibes.
All right, that will wrap up our show here. You guys have any closing statements?
You guys were wrong about Baylor Shireman not being Player of the Year. I hope he gets the award here soon. Other than that, yeah, this was a blast. Thanks. Thanks, Tommy and Mike.
Yeah, thanks for having us. I really like this idea. It's cool that the coaches pick them, but like a lot of other awards, I think that media should all put in votes and, you know, it's see how it compares to what the coaches' decisions were. So I really like this. Hopefully we can grow it and do it again next year.
Absolutely.
I will be declining my date with Ish Masood.
Damn it. You waited. You buried the lead until the end?
Yeah, I got to make sure people listen to the end.
Oh, Michael, now you got to cut that out too.
Yep. No, God, I can't wait to edit this one. Yes.
We were all so right. Close, guys. We almost did this thing.
Wrap this shit up, Michael. Let's get that.
I'm just going to hit the end record button.